Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So our first reading comes to us from the book of Revelation, from the first chapter. You're welcome to follow along with the Pew Bible, page 1490, or on the screen. Hear now these words. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And thus ends our first scripture reading of the day. I invite you to stand in body or spirit as I read the gospel text from the gospel according to John from the 18th chapter. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." And Pilate asked him, "So are you a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Please be seated. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, thank you for the gift of this day, for the rhythms of life, for beginnings and endings, and reminder of who Christ is to us now and in the future. Open our hearts and our minds to hear what you would have us hear this day, that the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as I mentioned earlier, that this is the last day of the church calendar, the liturgical year, and we start afresh again. And I had a chance in and I have friends who are rocket scientists that are way smarter than me that think about like integrative calculus as it relates to Jesus. And there's this beautiful image. How many of you in math have kind of seen a sinusoidal wave? So you have an x-axis and there's a curve that goes up and then there's the curve that goes down, right? And this can repeat over and over. And with that image in mind, that curve that goes up is the beginning of Advent until the day of Pentecost, which is basically the birth of Jesus, Jesus's ministry, the life and death of Jesus, the reappearance to all of his followers, Jesus' ascension into heaven and the coming of the Holy Spirit. That all happens in that first over the x-axis line. The rest of it is this really long season called the season after Pentecost, or ordinary time or kingdom tide, right? And there's this really long period where we are hearing scripture stories from the Old Testament, from the New Testament, the practicality of like, okay, this pivotal event happened in the life of followers of Jesus, and now we have to figure out how to live it, right? And in that sinusoidal part of it, there aren't a whole lot of highlights other than Reformation Sunday and the very culminating part where we get back to that starting line is Christ the King Sunday. And then we start it all over again. And the question is, why do we have to go through this rhythm of starting over and coming to this point again? It's because we forget. And sometimes we need reminders of what this life of faith can look like and what it calls us to. And so for us to be on this Christ the King Sunday, we're reflecting on a text from Revelation, which is considered apocalyptic literature, which was written to bring comfort to those who are suffering, being persecuted as being early followers of Christ Jesus because of the Roman Empire, right? A lot of people are like, I don't know what it means. There's a lot of imagery in it. But at this very beginning, we hear these words of the one who was, the one who is, and the one who is yet to come. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, right? So our life as a gathered community begins and ends effectively with Jesus. And then you think, well, what does this have to do with the gospel according to John? Because that text, let me put it into reference for you. So we know that Jesus had a very hard last week of life. Am I right? Yes, because we know that Jesus had a triumphant entry into Jerusalem. We celebrate that on Palm Sunday. He rode in on a donkey, knowing that his life was going to come to an end, and that the religious powers were doing everything and anything to trap Jesus because he was in direct conflict with how they thought things ought to be. And Jesus was bringing in a new way of being, of thinking about God and how to relate to one another. And it ultimately leads to Jesus praying in the garden and being arrested and taking to the religious council and effectively being brought to Pilate. Now, Pilate was kind of like the governor of the town who really had no say over what happened to the religious community. But they were bringing him to Pilate because they thought, well, we can't kill Jesus, but Pilate can, right? So Pilate is having this conversation with Jesus, and Pilate says, you say you're the King of the Jews, because that was the charge, right? To say that he was the King of the Jews meant that that title put him in direct conflict with the Roman Empire, right? And power needed to be maintained. And those words, that title basically meant that Jesus was a threat to the powers that be. But then Jesus takes that conversation and twists it from the very literal sense that Pilate was keeping it, and then throws in this really rich theological observation that Jesus says, I am not building a kingdom on this earth. The kingdom that I have brought to you is that of God. And we hear these echoes of these stories about the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven has drawn near. Can you think of some of these stories that we hear where Jesus is trying to say, this is what the kingdom is going to look like, and it isn't going to look like anything you've seen before or experienced before, and it is certainly not the kingdom that the Roman Empire has built right now. And then he says, again, that preference. And we say it in our theological reflection of Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again, right? Christ was, Christ is, Christ will come again. And the kingdom will be realized because that is God's plan for the world. And it also reminds us that that plan for God's plan in the world was dependent upon Jesus' death. That we cannot go into the season of Advent to remember the birth of Jesus without understanding that it ultimately leads to Jesus' death. And we cannot have that moment of death without realizing that Jesus has to be born. There is a beginning and there is an end. And here we are at that end moment where we could be considering standing on the edge of a cliff, and it's like, are we going to dive? Cliff jump. No, we're not going to cliff jump. Like, that terrifies me, right? But there's this idea that there is something that is calling us to take this leap of faith, because Jesus is telling us something that is so profound and important to us that sometimes we forget, and we need to hear it over and over and over again. That this world doesn't have the last word. God does. And how do we know this? Because Jesus has made it possible. Through Jesus' birth, life, suffering, death, and resurrection, we all become part of this kingdom of God. And he talks about this priest, like we become priests, meaning that we are the ones that carry this message into the world. It means that we are to remember that we are the priesthood of all believers, that we are heirs and recipients of the truth and the good news of Jesus Christ. Do we take that message out well into the world? I'm asking y'all, have y'all ever thought of yourself as a priest? Sometimes I wear my clergy collar out in public and people look at me like I'm crazy. Or what is that? Because it doesn't always jive or match in their heads, right? And I think that's true a little bit about being followers of Jesus. That sometimes it doesn't always match with what the world is trying to expect of us. It looks different. It feels different. It calls us to a different way of life, of interacting with individuals, of offering people grace, of loving others, even the ones we don't know, or loving the ones that we may not necessarily like or interact with on a day-to-day basis. So what does this kingdom look like for us? It's a kingdom built on the solid foundation of Jesus. Not the shifting sands that doesn't give us stable footing, but rather on the good news that Jesus was, is, and will be. Always and everywhere. The beginning and the end. The starting point and the finish line. That we are all heirs and inheritors of this promise. And so as we leave this year behind and move into the next season, we live in that in-between things of the now and the not yet, of what was, what is right now, and what we hope to see in the future. That we are people of hope. We are people of joy. We are people of love. More importantly, we are people of grace. God's grace through Christ Jesus. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The kingdom that I build is one of God and not of the world. join me in this good news. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.